with the conversion of Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible Answer Man, to Eastern Orthodoxy, there's been a lot of buzzing on the internet about this. And there was a post on Facebook that I shared some thoughts on and was immediately jumped by several Eastern Orthodox individuals. And there were so many things coming at me in the fray, I encouraged them to private message me so I can keep their questions and the dialogues distinct from one another. Well, one of them actually wasn't one of the guys that originally responded to me. It was someone else that I guess was reading those exchanges. He asked me a question that I've heard many times over the years from specifically mostly from Roman Catholics, because that was in the place where I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, was very, very Roman Catholic town, and also that was always an area of interest to me in my Christian life was understanding Catholicism, because I knew so many people who were Catholic. But when you dialogue with people who are Eastern Orthodox, either from the cradle or converts, really have the same arguments. It's the same stuff. But this fella messaged me and said, I myself converted over 8 years ago after years in the Reformed movement and a member of the PCA. In discussion with my Reformed friends, no one will answer this question, so I'm posing it to you. Why should I believe your interpretation of Scripture? Now, if none of his Reformed friends could answer a question as simplistic as that one, I wonder where in the world this guy actually went to church, or who his pastor was, or what Reformed authors he'd ever read on this topic. Well, that's just your interpretation. I've actually preached extensively on the doctrine of sola scriptura over the years. It's a vital truth. It's one that's still very important. But I wanted to just real quickly put up a video and respond to this very common question. To this day, I don't, from the first time I ever heard this, why should I accept your interpretations of Scripture? I've always not understood why people even ask that. I responded to his question by asking him, why should I accept your fallible and potentially erroneous interpretations of church history, tradition, and or Scripture that led you to Eastern Orthodoxy? You see, folks, you have to understand, interpretation is unavoidable. It's as unavoidable to communication as breathing is to talking. If you're watching this video, you are interpreting what I'm saying. Now, does that mean that, well, your interpretation is just entirely subjective, and so how could anyone possibly know if it's right or not? No one actually functions like that. In our conversations with one another, no one is sitting there going, I just have no idea what, I'm just the fallible interpreter of what he's saying, and who knows what he really means. There could be 15 interpretations of what he means. Everyone knows that's absurd. And the reason for that is very simple, and I hope everyone watching will understand this. God believes in the adequacy of human language because it's his invention. God is able to speak to us, and he speaks to us in such a way that he demands that we understand him. That's what people don't recognize. God believes in the adequacy of human language to communicate truth, which is why Jesus held all of his hearers who had access to the Bible accountable for having read it and for having properly understood it. And the Roman Catholic Church, Eastern Orthodox, and 1,000 cults have insisted for centuries that we all need an infallible interpreter of Scripture. And God supposedly gave that to us in the hierarchy of the church, and the Holy Spirit guiding the church in its ecumenical councils and so on and so forth. And the problem with this, of course, is that we have to interpret the pronouncements of any infallible interpreters too. This guy also made the amazing statement to me that he and his friends studied doctrines forever and they still were divided. But then he came to Eastern Orthodoxy and found that they were more faithful to all of Scripture than the Reformed. And so I've challenged him, you name the doctrine, pick any doctrine of the faith, and let's see if Eastern Orthodoxy is more faithful to all of Scripture than the Reformed are. He said that that the Eastern Orthodoxy is far more faithful to all of Scripture than the Reformed. And I asked the question because I can't believe he can't see this. I asked, how do you know that they're more faithful to all of Scripture without trusting your own interpretations of Scripture? You see, what if people disagree on what they think Scripture means in Eastern Orthodoxy? What if people have differing interpretations of the pronouncements of the first seven ecumenical councils? What if people don't agree on exactly how we are to argue for the propriety of giving proskuneo, or worship, to images and icons and the ancillary material from the seventh ecumenical council, the second Nicene council? What if people disagree on that? Is this guy seriously suggesting that everyone in the Eastern Orthodox Church, all of its prelates, bishops, and patriarchs, that they all agree on everything? These are romantic notions. I've heard the exact same arguments from Roman Catholics. I've heard the same arguments from Mormons and from Jehovah's Witnesses. I'd like to point out something that I think everyone needs to realize, because this is not, the doctrine of sola scriptura is not taught very well, even in Reformed churches anymore. It's just not. We've really moved away from biblical theology into doing all this self-help stuff and the seeker-sensitive siren calls and everything else. The divisions that exist between Christians exist not because of the Bible, but because of not studying the Bible. That's why people are so divided, because they don't study it. I mean, think about it. When the Bible says David was king of Israel, well, what does that mean? Is it really a legitimate argument to say, well, you're just engaging in your own interpretations of that? Can you say that David was king of Israel, that assertion? Well, I interpret that to mean Solomon was king of Israel, and that interpretation is as good as anyone else's. If we actually function like that, if people really believe the claims of Eastern Orthodox converts, of Roman Catholic converts, Mormon converts, that, well, Doug, you're just interpreting Scripture. You're just trusting in yourself and your own interpretation. Why is it that you believe that Eastern Orthodox prelates and Eastern Orthodox teachers and converts, they can communicate clearly with what the Scripture says, and you can trust their interpretations, but you can't trust anyone else's? Don't you see that sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander here? There's no way around interpretation. And you might say, well, that just leaves us entirely subjective. No, it doesn't. God expects us to understand what he is saying. God expects us and holds us accountable for having understood the Scriptures. In fact, Jesus said over and over again, have you not read what was spoken to you by God? Have you not read that it is written in the Psalms? Have you not read? Have you not read? And then he gives them the passage and its proper interpretation. He expected them to understand the Scripture. Now, if Jesus and the apostles and his hearers actually held to what Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholics believe, that, well, nobody can understand the Bible, nobody can understand Scripture without this infallible interpreter, those people could have rightly responded to Jesus by saying, well, we didn't know that that's what David was talking about. We didn't know that's what Moses was talking about. We didn't know that that was what Isaiah was. How could we possibly understand Scripture without an infallible interpreter? No one believed that. Jesus didn't believe that. The prophets didn't believe that. God does not have a speech impediment. The existence of division among people as far as what Scripture means is not a reflection of a defect in Scripture. It's a reflection of a defect in us. We have our own sins, we have our own issues, our own presuppositions, our own problems. But God holds us accountable for what Scripture says. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I asked my 7-year-old daughter last night, so, sweetheart, doesn't that passage mean that God gives us grace, and then with the help of God's grace, we're able to do good works that save us? And my little 7-year-old daughter said, no, it says not by works, lest anyone should boast. I said, but that's just your interpretation, sweetheart, Lily. That's just your interpretation. And she said, no, that's what it says, Daddy. I said, I know, sweetheart. God doesn't have a speech impediment. Okay, God can speak, and he can speak clearly. In fact, far more clearly than Eastern Orthodox people that I've listened to. Michael Hyatt, Peter Gilquist, I've listened to their lectures, I've read their books, been through all this, been there, done that, got the shirt. I've heard every single one of these objections over and over and over again, and have had the pleasure, I've had the distinct joy of seeing people come out of Orthodoxy and Rome to the true gospel. But it's very hard. Once a person's mind has been poisoned against the clarity of Scripture, they'll embrace an authority outside of Scripture, like whatever, you know, the hierarchy in Salt Lake City, Brooklyn, New York, Rome, Italy, or Constantinople, wherever. And they will transfer all of their trust into that organization. It's very attractive because it just relieves you of having to do any thinking of your own. And yet when you look at the way Jesus interacted with people, he expected them to have read Scripture and he expected them to understand it correctly. He held them accountable for it. And so I would encourage people to realize the Bible is not a muddled mess of confusion. The basic message of Scripture in terms of who God is, who man is, what our problem is, how we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, that we are justified by faith apart from works of the law, Galatians 2:16, Galatians 3, 4, and 5, Romans, the whole book, Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, and Paul describes his own conversion in Philippians chapter 3 very clearly, that I may be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is derived from law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God and is by faith. It's a very simple message of salvation. The reason for divisions among Protestants has nothing to do with the Bible. It has everything to do with human sinfulness. And yet, when you look at the denominations that have actually practiced sola scriptura, when you look at the Continental Reformed tradition, when you look at the Scottish Presbyterian tradition, when you look at Reformed Baptists, when you look at Orthodox Historic Lutheran theology, the level of unity that we have among ourselves is remarkable. And we have tried to practice sola scriptura. Look at the groups that deny sola scriptura. Let's take four of them. Romanism, Eastern Orthodoxy, Mormonism, and the Jehovah's Witnesses. All four of them practice the same type of perspective. Scripture plus an infallible interpreter. Different God, different gospel, different Jesus, different plan of salvation. Those of us who practice sola scriptura, not just say we believe it, but really practice it, we agree on who God is, who Christ is, and how we're saved. And so the problem is not scripture. The problem is not practicing sola scriptura. And so I hope that people will realize that. Why should I trust your interpretations of Scripture? I responded to that in a way I think is really obvious. No one should accept my interpretation of Scripture unless it's correct. But everyone has to interpret every form of communication that they receive. For some reason, this guy thinks, well, that doesn't apply to the Eastern Orthodox people I listened to when they told me what Scripture means. Why is that? Isn't that just a case of special pleading here? Everyone has the right and the obligation to interpret Scripture, but no one has the right to misinterpret Scripture. God doesn't have a speech impediment. God can speak, and he speaks clearly to us in his word. And so, again, I just want to pose that challenge. Pick a doctrine, anything in the Christian faith, and you show me how the Eastern Orthodox Church is more faithful to it, biblically, than the Reformed are. Thank you.